Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Pretty scary boo. Wow, that was good.
That was good.
That was very unison. Yeah. Finger me, Carrie.
I will.
Caitlin.
I knew that was coming.
Come on.
She fingered me willingly the other day, by the way, on our podcast.
I did.
Oh,
did
I was like, is it Adam?
I think you're the factor that makes it weird for me.
Actually, fingering is a trademark of the Unpops Network, so we'll just talk about it after the show. It's fine. I have some paperwork for you to sign. I'm gonna need to get my lawyer here now.
God,
I guess.
Can you imagine if fingering is what brings this whole thing down? I wouldn't be surprised. I hate it so much. I would not be surprised.
Yeah,
if this
we just get sued by some external company. Actually, we finger each other. We've been fingering each other every day for 15 years.
Time is a flat circle. Man, I wish some things were as good as the first season of True Detective. Did you watch True Detective?
I did.
Did you watch True Detective, Carrie?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
You saw it's coming back. They're doing season 3.
Yeah, but it's going to be weird because they got what's-his-name from, not Westworld.
The Big Bang Theory?
No.
Sheldon?
I would literally burn my own television if I found out that the creator...
Are you sure? Wouldn't it be kind of cool if Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory was the lead in the next season of True
Sheldon
Detective?
Sheldon is good in anything except for The Big Bang. I'll say that.
That's what I'm saying.
Anything where he plays a nerd. Right?
No, I feel like he'd be great as a really moody cop.
I think Sheldon got Bob Saget-ed, in my opinion. That guy, whoever plays Sheldon, because Bob Saget was like a filthy stand-up comedian.
Oh yeah,
and auditioned and ended up being the dad on Full House and whatever his name is, Sheldon guy.
I don't think he has a name.
He's a great actor. He was in The Normal Heart.
Jim Parsons, that's his name.
Are you making fun of me, or is that
no?
Name?
I think that is his name.
Oh,
and
yeah,
isn't
it is. Jim
he like
Parsons,
he's got like a PhD in like nerdiness?
He does now.
Like science
he got
and math.
An honorary PhD
yeah,
at least
does.
By now.
Yeah, he does.
I hate that show so much.
It is.
It's been on forever.
It's garbage. So, what are we talking about today?
Haunted stuff.
Haunted items. Because Zach Bagans, our favorite ghost adventurer, we've talked about Zach Bagans. I think when you were on.
Yeah.
Like the weekly podcast.
Long time ago.
Yeah. I think maybe the first time you two were on.
Yeah.
We talked about Zach Bagans, who is basically the Dane Cook of ghost hunting.
He's the best.
Yeah, he really is. I like Ghost Adventures a lot.
Ghost Adventures is great because he's so sincere.
Yeah.
I don't feel... I think he... Because if you're watching Ghost Hunters.
Right.
With the Taps crew.
Yeah.
You kind of get this sense that they are taking this to a level that they don't even believe anymore.
Right.
And I don't appreciate that. I would pretty much watch anything that's, if as long as the host of it really believes, they have to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
For it to work. And as a result, like, he's, Zach Bagans just,
yeah.
like, he's,
it's entertaining to watch. I love watching him go in a basement and scream at ghosts and like threaten to physically fight them and shit.
He had an episode. My husband and I were watching Ghost Adventures because I think it's on Hulu. Like you can just watch episode episode of it. It's either Hulu or Amazon.
But I know what I'm doing the next 3 weeks.
It's so fun. So we were watching it and they got a recording, right?
Yeah.
And it's like him and his other bro friend that he's brought on eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They are bro'd the fuck up in that outfit.
Ed Hardy. Like, it's just, it's so funny. So they're sitting there listening to this, like, thing. And it's, you know, it's over and over again. It's, I was right. I was right.
Oh, I was
right. So over and over again. And they're like, what is she saying? We sat there for hours trying to figure out what the female ghost was saying. And then, I was right. And then in unison, they're like, I was raped. And then they high five. I was like,
Bagans.
My husband and I watched it like 5 times because it was the funniest. Oh, I was raped. Bah! Like they like chest bumped. Like it was crazy.
No, wait, bro. What if she said I love rape?
Whoa.
This ghost likes to party.
I like when he goes to historical sites and he's like, this cannon was used in the Civil War. And then it cuts to him and like a Civil War expert. And he's like, so in the Civil War, how did they go about using this cannon? The guy's like, well, they loaded the thing. Like, the experts are always like, who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Like, it's so funny.
Well, because he shows up wearing, like, JNCO jeans and fucking Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah, he's bedazzled every episode. Yeah. It's crazy.
This is current. It's not from, like, 2009.
Crispy hair.
It's been on for a while.
Well, Ghost Adventures, I don't know if it's still on, but he's got a new show coming on that's about haunted items.
Fuck yeah.
It premieres at the beginning of April, and that's how I found... That's how I came up with the idea for this.
We have to get him on our show.
Oh, yeah.
I bet we could.
I would fucking love to have Zach. Because as much as I make fun of him, I love that show.
I love him.
And he is super sincere.
So he's on Twitter, right?
Gary's going to tweet at him.
Z-A-K?
Z-A-K-B-A-G-A-N-S.
Zach Bagans.
Zach Bagans.
Ding, ding, ding. Anyway,
Zach Bagans just bought the Dybbuk box.
Fuck yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did for his haunted museum that he's opening, which is a museum.
He has my dream job.
Yeah, yeah.
Hosting?
Just being a ghost hunter host.
Yeah, that would be pretty great.
That's the best job in the world.
Yeah.
And no one ever gets sick of it. They could walk through the same Pennsylvania prison 40 times and 40 different shows, and I'd watch it every time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know which prison I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. The one with the Sugar Shack?
Yeah. Oh, it's so scary.
Did you ever watch Fear, which was an MTV show?
I was just going to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that show.
Why did they take it away? You know when it went downhill is when they did Celebrity Fear.
Yeah, yeah, that was
bullshit.
Nobody cares.
I didn't mind it.
I wanted to watch normal people get freaked out.
Yeah, Fear was great. They would just put teens and young people in these fucking terrifying...
Like, weren't they like insane asylums and stuff?
Yeah.
Insane asylums.
Oh, yeah. I think they did the Queen Mary, too. Like, they did every, like, kind of all your classic...
But they did that Pennsylvania prison.
Yeah, that one was the scariest one.
Yeah, just the name of that room, the Sugar Shack.
That's just so fucked up.
Shack.
It's so. Anyway, so Zach Bagans bought the Dybbuk box because, of course, he did. He's got all my dream money.
Yeah.
Just so you know, it's still on. When you type in Zach, it's the first one that pops up.
Yeah.
He has 800,000 Twitter followers, so I'm hoping he pays attention to the messages that I send him.
Unpops fans.
But
mobilize.
Pretty Scary fans, tweet at Zach Bagans.
To be on Pretty Scary.
And say he should be on Pretty Scary on the Unpops Network.
Oh my God.
He says he lives in Las Vegas, but that's not far.
We'll drive there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or he could even Skype in.
Have Bagans will travel. No.
Yeah,
we got our
new season, so it's still on.
We're not wasting this on
that's true.
Skype. We're going to him if we have to.
That's true.
I'll take days off work. I don't care.
And the haunted museum that he owns is in Vegas.
Nice.
So we could go there.
Let's go to Vegas.
Let's do
Vegas,
it.
Vegas, baby.
Let's hit Key West on the way back.
Yeah, just a little swing.
That makes sense.
It's on the way to LA. Yeah.
So the Dybbuk box. This, like most really good haunted mystery item stories, this story originated on eBay.
Sure.
Of course.
Well, that's where the Island of Lost Souls exists.
Yeah.
eBay.
In the early 2000s. It was a term that was first coined by a writer named Kevin Manis to describe a wine cabinet that he was auctioning off on eBay. And Kevin Manis is also a writer, and the subject of a story he wrote was this Dybbuk box.
I feel like Kevin Manis is like the perfect name for that like annoying, gross, like spooky kid in high school.
Yeah.
Who wore top hats.
Yeah.
Like prom? That,
oh, there's Kevin Manis again.
Like you hear about the Dybbuk box and you're like, I bet Manis fucking owns that thing.
Yeah, fucking Manis.
Fucking Manis.
Like you see him in the hallway and he's like, good day. And you're like, Jesus, Manis, calm down.
But he's one of those nerds who's like a self-righteous nerd. Which nothing worse than a self-righteous
nerd.
Like he owns it.
He walks in the rain.
Nope.
Yep.
Fuck people.
That's
like
him
that.
Though. That's Manis. I promise you that's Manis.
That's
this guy for sure.
So according to Manis! According to his story, he bought this box at an estate sale in 2003, and it belonged to a survivor of the Holocaust in German-occupied Poland named Havela, who had escaped to Spain and purchased it there before her immigration to the United States. And Havela's granddaughter told Manis that the box had been in Spain after the Holocaust, and upon hearing that it was a family heirloom, he offered to give it back to the family, but the granddaughter insisted he take it. We don't want it, she said.
But that was
dun,
nice.
Dun.
I feel like we're giving Manis a bad rap because it sounds like he was trying to do something nice and heartfelt for the family.
Well, no. We're not giving him a bad rap. We're talking shit about.
No,
we're making fun of
we
a fictional.
Talking shit.
We're making fun
Manis.
Of a fictional Manis.
Here's
that
what
have
we
existed.
Know. Here's what we know about fictional Manis. He's the worst.
He's the worst guy.
But he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's just very insecure.
He's annoying.
He's annoying. So he reacts in annoying ways, but at the end of the day, Manis is not going to Columbine you. Let's just be really clear about this.
Yeah.
Like he would have had enough confidence to go up to like the head cheerleader and ask her to prom.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he just has no self-aware like he just doesn't understand.
Okay, I can see that.
He doesn't know how to read a room, but he knows how to do the right thing because, you know, at the end of the day, Manis is a good guy.
Good.
But seriously, though, I don't want to hang out with Manis.
Yeah.
This is all Manis' fault.
Good guy with a Dybbuk box. So the granddaughter told him that this box had been kept in her grandmother's sewing room and it was never opened because a Dybbuk was said to live inside it. And Caitlin, what's a Dybbuk?
It is a Jewish boogeyman.
Jewish monster.
Jewish monster. Mm-hmm.
Scary Jewish monster.
I see them every Saturday around 5 walking down.
No, those
Wilshire?
Are actually just Jewish people.
Oh.
You're just looking at Jewish people.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is the enemy of the Jewish people, the Dybbuk. You don't want.
Yeah, the Dybbuk is not.
Is that Hasidic?
No, that's just.
I'm sure it's close.
No, those are just Hasidic Jewish people.
So, okay. Upon opening the box, he found that it contained two 1920s pennies, a lock of blonde hair bound with cord, which right there, I'm shutting the box
done.
And burning
We're
it.
We're going to get rid of the box.
A lock of black brown hair bound with a cord.
No.
A small statue engraved with the Hebrew word shalom, a small golden wine goblet.
Yeah.
One dried rosebud.
Nope.
And a single candle holder with four octopus-shaped legs.
No, this is voodoo shit. This isn't...
Yeah.
I mean, this is like way out of the realm of...
What does shalom mean?
I think it's peace.
Isn't it peace?
It's peace.
Then why would it be in that box?
Maybe they're wanting peace. In the.
Unless it's like an oxymoron.
Trying to talk the Dybbuk into changing its ways.
It's a spooky collection of shit. I mean,
It really is. And this is where the story gets weird. He wrote that he experienced a series of horrific nightmares shared with other people while they were in possession of the box or when they stayed at his home while he had it. And this is the weird part. His mother suffered a stroke on the same day he gave her the box as a birthday present. So he gets this box in his house that's giving him these crazy nightmares, and he's like, I know what to do with this. I'm giving it to my mom.
See?
I feel like that's a guy thing. Like, guys don't
think
about things.
No, it's a Manis thing.
Manis.
Kevin really? I think that's just a guy thing.
He just doesn't make good social moves.
Yeah. So he killed
his... And of course he like gives it to his mom because he thinks mom can solve it because it's
fucking Manis.
He calls
his mom mother?
Yeah, it's a mother situation for sure.
For sure. And every owner of the box has reported that smells of cat urine or jasmine flowers, either one, and nightmares involving...
One's better than the other.
And nightmares involving an old hag... accompany the box.
That's not good.
No, you don't want old hag dreams.
I've had an old hag dream.
You have? Yes.
Yeah, I've had a couple old hag dreams. I have nightmares about old hags.
Old hags.
Old hags. Hey, Caitlin. Oh, it's Caitlin. Hello, welcome back. Nice Dybbuk box.
The last person to auction the box off on eBay, this thing keeps fucking selling on eBay, was named Yosef Nitsky. He was a student at Truman State University in Kirksville, Missouri. He claimed that the box caused lights to burn out in his house, bad times, and also his hair to fall out, which...
Or that's hereditary.
Nitsky, yeah. I don't know.
I feel like that's bullshit.
Yeah, the hair falling out, I'm not going to... I can't go with him on that journey.
Yeah. And
for your lights to burn out, I mean...
That's weird.
I don't think it's that weird. Maybe it was an electrical short. Maybe it was an old building.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Could have been.
Could have been.
Or it was the Dybbuk box.
No.
Which is not clear, this time. Way more logical. The hair definitely has me feeling like that's not the case.
Like, I feel like the Dybbuk box isn't going to fuck around, right? So it's like it's going to kill you or maim you. It's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to play with the lights.
Yeah.
Make your hair fall out.
Going to activate your receding hairline. Yeah.
Stuff.
No.
So the last owner before the bags took it over was the director of the Museum of Osteopathic Medicine, also in Kirksville, Missouri, a man named Jason Haxton. He bought the Dybbuk box from Yosef Nitsky, and Haxton consulted with rabbis to try and figure out a way to seal the Dybbuk in the box again. Mm-hmm. And apparently successful, he took the freshly resealed box and hid it at a secret location, which he refused to reveal until he sold it to Zach Bagans.
When I first read that, I thought it was Rabbis, like Manus.
Oh,
sure. Got it. Yep.
Sure.
With you there. I read it a few times. It was very confusing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It's like Rabbis is a Jewish religious leader.
Fun fact, there's a movie about the Dybbuk box. It's called The Possession. It stars Jeffrey Dean Morgan of Grey's Anatomy fame.
Wait, I've seen The Possession.
It's about the Dybbuk box. Because remember, they're at the yard sale and the girl buys the box. I watched it today. It's actually good.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I've definitely seen worse horror movies.
Yeah. I liked it better than The Conjuring, and everyone fucking loved The Conjuring.
No, I like The Conjuring.
You liked it. I think I liked it.
I didn't like it.
I love The Conjuring. Scared the poop out of me.
Well, we'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah, I know.
But this movie is called The Possession and came out in 2012. It's pretty good. I watched it this morning.
Yeah, it's okay.
Doesn't really line up with the events that people report about the Dybbuk box.
Negative.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Nothing in my research revealed a girl who swallowed murder of moths.
No.
And then became Matas Yahoo is in the movie. Okay.
I know. Okay. There's a lot.
I made a note when I was watching the movie that a Matas Yahoo looking motherfucker shows up. Uh-huh. And I had to erase the note because I realized it was him.
Well, because you just don't expect it to be him.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was making a really good joke. And I'm like, oh, shit. No, that's him. He's in it. He's in it. He raps. He actually raps.
I'm funny. I'm just being accurate.
That's how he gets the Dybbuk back in the box.
Modest. That's
spit some bars. Spit some hot bars.
Is he a rapper? I don't know.
Yeah, he sure is. He's an Orthodox Jewish rapper.
I've probably seen him walking down Wilshire Saturdays at 5.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would expect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Dybbuk box. Zach Bagans is going to put it in his haunted museum, which also features Michael Jackson's propofol chair, which is the chair his doctor sat in and monitored him with when he...
So he wasn't in it. His doctor would sit there when he monitored him.
Yeah. The doctor who basically killed him would...
Who only served 4 years is already out. Conrad? Something Conrad?
Yeah. I mean, you can only blame a doctor for so much. That's the weirdest part.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, they've got some wiggle room. You know, they're. I mean, he was a terrible doctor and a bad person, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's just...
At some point, the person's...
I think they should have fried him.
Gary going hard.
They could have put him in Dr. Kevorkian's Deathmobile, which is also in Zach Bagans. I really want to go to this museum.
I definitely
want to. It's my kind of thing.
Yeah.
Let's be friends with Zach Bagans.
I just think it makes the most sense.
Yeah, I don't know why we're not already.
We will be.
Yeah.
Carrie's going to date him.
Carrie's going to...
At least sleep with him.
At least. Please. Please.
Please.
Not until after we get...
Thank you.
Like a special VIP tour of the Haunted Museum.
I appreciate that.
Get him on the podcast.
As soon as we get to the end, to like the gift shop, I'll take off.
Yeah.
Clothes. And
Adam and I can
purchase whatever you want.
Well, I think we'll make a few purchases.
I definitely am going to walk away with at least a mug.
Give me a Haunted Museum shot glass.
Oh, please. Of course. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went to the Haunted Museum and all I got was this lousy Dybbuk box.
That's
what the shirt says.
I like it.
Next. Should we talk about Robert the Doll next?
Yeah, except the marketing in this is all wrong.
Yeah, what a boring name.
If you're going to haunt a doll, Robert? Yeah.
The opening lines of the Wikipedia page about Robert the Doll are Robert, otherwise known as Robert the Doll. That's fancy nickname. Or Robert the Haunted Doll, or Robert the Enchanted Doll.
I don't like whimsy.
No, no.
Not a fan of whimsy.
Not when it's fake whimsy, and it's all actually whimsy. Robert.
All whimsy is fake.
It's actually Robert the Murder Doll. This is a doll that was once owned by Key West painter and author Robert Eugene Otto. And the doll is alleged to be cursed. It's also the inspiration for Chucky from the 80s horror movie films Child's
Chucky
Play.
Chucky inspo.
Which, the thing is, this doll looks nothing like Chucky.
Yeah, Hollywood does that.
It's almost creepier.
Wait, it's a sailor.
Yeah, it's a sailor holding a dog, which we never hear the dog's story.
No.
We don't know if this is a haunted
but
dog.
But the dog does look like it wants help, like it wants out of his lap.
Maybe the dog is the one that's actually doing everything.
I just think this is a poorly made doll. It looks like Pinocchio.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it does.
There's like a...
Why don't you be a real life boy?
Yeah, I got no strings to hold me down.
So Robert the Doll...
great, again, really great name.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is
supposedly,
the movie really writes itself.
Yeah, it does. Supposedly this doll was given to Robert Otto... in 1906 by a Bahamian servant who practiced black magic and voodoo.
Don't accept gifts from voodoo people.
No.
Just don't. Especially a fucking doll.
Yeah. Why would you
Step
take...
Step one.
Yeah, that's like voodoo 101.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if you're like, they made me tea. That's bad, but you could...
Yeah.
But a doll, it's like, that's their whole racket.
Yeah.
I feel like I just... read something saying that voodoo gets a bad rap and it's not all bad.
I'm sure that there's a bunch of people that defend voodoo. There's got to be.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but if somebody's like, here, I practice voodoo and I made this doll for you, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that I'm out. I think certain cultures...
This is how Carrie ends up with
yep, this is how Carrie dies.
Haunted doll. Oh, God. Carrie's like, let's give the doll a chance. This is a big difference between me and Carrie here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no. And Carrie's like, well, I don't know.
What if I start cursing people and the doll becomes an alcoholic? And like we switch like Freaky Friday?
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
The Robert the alcoholic dog doll.
Doll, yeah.
With a dog.
With a dog.
It's holding a small dog. Anyway, go ahead, Adam.
So Otto's parents would often hear him talking to the doll, and at first they assumed he was just answering himself in a changed voice, but later they claimed the doll was actually speaking.
What's worse, talking doll or your child answering in a weird voice?
The child answering in a weird
yeah.
voice.
This is like your mannequin thing. Like, it's scarier if you find a mannequin.
Yeah.
Right.
Or, I mean, my
or,
mannequin.
Or,
yeah, I don't want to harp on it, but...
Or Jay Moore's mannequin
There's actually
thing.
A lot of mannequin things out there now.
I forgot about this fucking joke. Oh,
yeah, we all have a mannequin joke.
It's the Bermuda Triangle of jokes.
That joke is my Robert the Doll. It's going to haunt me the rest of my fucking life.
Oh, my God.
The doll doesn't even look like he has lips, though.
I don't know what the fuck's going on with that doll.
No, but we can get a replica of it from the museum where the doll is now... housed, which is in Key West, Florida. I looked at it today, $29.95 for a adorable little replica that can sit on the table when we
why
record.
Is the doll in the museum?
Well, that's,
I don't understand.
That's where they go. I feel like museums.
That's where they go, Caitlin.
They take away their power, I think. Once you put it in the museum, everyone's
or
safe.
Or if it's night at the museum and when the lights go oh, yeah. off, it's
when
just like the security guard.
Go down.
And like all these haunted yeah. dolls
museum.
Coming to life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just
Robert the Doll and Robin Williams running around haunted museum.
That's where he lives forever.
Forever and forever.
Why is I don't understand this one and why we think the doll's haunted. Just because they heard a voice? Oh, that's right. I forgot
yes.
about the moving around.
Yeah, the neighbors also claimed to see the doll moving from window to window when the family was out.
All I imagined in that was the rocking around the Christmas tree scene from Home Alone. Like,
that's a good one.
Just Macaulay Culkin, like, moving some ropes around, and the doll's like, hey, I'm a real boy. Like,
so really, Otto's the one who's, like, manufacturing
yeah,
the content.
Yeah, I think the kid had some mental problems.
There's also a movie about this doll, but it looks really bad. And I don't mean Child's Play. There's a... They did not do the doll any justice.
The Curse of Robert? Why didn't we watch this before?
There's a Conjuring 3 coming
See, exactly.
out?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Emily Barker is a cash-strapped student trying to make money as a cleaner, working nights at the East Falls Museum. That's how it always happens.
That is. That's exactly how it happens.
When did this come out?
This was
last
2016.
Year. Yeah. One exhibit. Okay, so
see, every one of these dolls looks creepier than the real Robert.
All dolls are creepy. No.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Get to the point.
Don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
Wait, that's much scarier than the real doll.
Yeah. That's kind of always the way.
Like, why can't they turn on the lights?
You know what we should do? We should host an Unpops movie screening night for a fundraiser. We should rent a theater.
We should.
And do one of these things. Like, whatever the stupid movie is. I've always wanted to use a movie to make like, do fundraising.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the what the legal...
Can we do a fundraiser where we kill Jeff?
Why?
I think that movie's just called You guys, there's dolls fighting.
That doll looks like Robert Redford.
And bleeding. Oh, wait, dolls that was bleeding.
Fighting in this preview.
The doll looks like Robert Redford. It looks like a young Robert Redford.
You're right,
Redford.
Yeah.
Way they run, though, very poor. I assume like the Mothman.
Yeah, it's a clumsy runner. It's a clumsy runner
still,
for sure.
So funny to me. And you know what?
And the real Robert does have a pretty unremarkable
head.
Yeah,
unremarkable.
Very unremarkable.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the poor Mothman.
poor unremarkable Mothman. So the only thing haunted, the only thing out of that story to me that seemed super haunted was the random move that the neighbors all claimed that the doll was moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm imagining some like Muppet-like run across the house in silhouette, like, it's a doll. Like, it's, anyway.
Does tiny doll have a voice?
Hi. I don't know.
Kind of whimsical and musical.
Welcome home. I'm Robert the doll. How was your day? I want to drink your blood. What? Good morning, Adam. Boy, it's sure nice to see you alive again. Let's hope tomorrow we have the same kind of result.
Robert.
You owe me $9,000.
For what?
For buying me.
So wait, Robert the doll is an extortionist?
Not an extortionist. I'm just creative in the way I raise funds. You don't know what it's like to have to pee your whole life and not have the members to do it. My name's Robert the Doll. I still gotta pee. I eat your moth.
Oh, poor Robert. Poor Annabelle, too.
I don't feel bad for Annabelle. This is the one that actually creeps me out.
Yeah, this is the doll that inspired The Conjuring.
Well, it didn't inspire The Conjuring. It's the first story in The Conjuring. And then it inspired one of the dumbest movies ever, Annabelle.
I've never seen Annabelle, but I didn't like The Conjuring.
So bad.
You talked about that. Well, you said it.
I didn't like
5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I didn't. So tell us why.
I thought it was boring.
I
thought people made
me.
Too much of a deal out of how, oh, you don't see the monster till like way in the end. And it's like, yeah, because it looked like a bullshit fake witch standing on top of a wardrobe.
I loved it.
I hated it.
I really loved it.
Did you see The Conjuring 2?
Yeah, I liked that one too.
I liked The Conjuring 2 better than
it was a good
the
sequel.
First one.
I think the Insidious franchise is a better franchise than the Conjuring franchise.
I gotta watch that again. I haven't been able to get into Insidious.
I don't know what it is. I like both of the. I like James Wan as a director a lot. Like, I just think he's an interesting. He does things in an interesting way.
Yeah,
it's just nice to see different stuff. Like,
so the first time I watched The Conjuring, I was alone.
Nope.
Yeah, you said it was really scary. I think it was like 8 p.m. It wasn't that late. Maybe it was late. Whatever. I was by myself watching, and all of a sudden there was a knock on my door, and like,
no.
I wasn't expecting anybody.
Oh, my God.
Nope.
And I didn't answer it in case it was a ghost or a demon or
Clearly.
Something. Clearly. And then the next morning when I woke up, it was a rose and a bottle of wine from...
From the unicorn card guy?
Yes, the unicorn card guy. There was
That sounds like a horror movie.
Kind of.
The unicorn card guy.
There was this comedian that I had met. And like,
fell hard for Carrie.
Well, he had had not just one, two breast reduction surgeries.
What?
Yeah.
Adventures in Dating with Carrie.
And I remember just like, what if we have to share a bra one day?
Mm.
Right?
That's just not something I want in common with my guy.
So, whatever. It didn't only last like a month or two. And then I was like, yeah, I don't really want to hang out anymore. And after his shows, he would drive down to Long Beach and leave flowers and wine on my doorstep. And so I'd wake up in the morning. It was like a wine... Rose Fairy visited in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but
that's scarier than a haunted doll.
I love this story so much.
So then I see him at a show I was doing at the Ha Ha Cafe, and we talk a little bit, and then he leaves, and I was like, oh, he left, like, what, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I see him walking down the street, and he puts a card in front of me, and he goes, read it later. I was like, okay, so of course, I go to the bathroom and immediately open it up, as to which rose petals fell out of it.
Yikes.
So I'm in the bathroom of the Ha Ha Cafe trying to scoop up rose petals before I go on, and I read and it says, I still have a picture of it, I'll show you. Dear Carrie, I hope that you come over tonight. I'm going to put 1,000 rose petals all over my bed. I want to make you come with my mouth and my whole body.
Wow.
Which I don't know if that's even physically possible.
The mouth part is possible.
Well, yeah, the mouth part seems do it, but the whole... Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Put his elbow into it? I don't know.
Yeah. So what is that? He's going to do a dance.
Because my friend and I had drove together, and so he's driving home, and I'm in the passenger seat, and all of a sudden, this guy texts me, and he's like, so you're going to come over? And I was like, yeah, I don't think I can. Like, I have to get up early. And then he sends me a picture of his bed with a candle lit next to it and all these rose petals. And I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I can't come over. And I just imagined him blowing out the candle and like taking a wastebasket. And getting all the rose petals his bed.
He needed a more solid plan than to just...
What a sad night.
For him. Man. For him. But I got some free wine for a while. This is like being part of a wine club that I had not signed up for.
And this is why like the MRA movement think they have legs. Because they're like, see, this guy went out of his way to be nice to her. They don't see how creepy this is. And it's fucking Manus over again.
The Conjuring. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway. The Conjuring.
It all comes full circle.
So Annabelle. Annabelle's a Raggedy Ann doll, which as a kid, those scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, those were gross anyway.
They were creepy on their own. That is alleged by demonologist Ed and Lorraine Warren to be haunted.
I think this couple is
This
fantastic.
Couple is very interesting.
Power couple.
Oh, yeah. They are the basis of the Conjuring movies.
Totally.
Those movies are based on their stories.
What was the Linda Blair one?
The Exorcist.
Yeah, so... Amityville Horror, right? Was Lorraine Warren?
Yeah. Amityville Horror is another Ed and Lorraine Warren story.
But I love as we get to the bottom, because whoever they're interviewing does not like the Warrens, clearly.
Oh, really? You mean at the bottom of the notes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That you put together?
There's a lot of people that...
I don't remember that.
There's a lot of people that are angry at the Warrens.
Finger me. I felt like that ended
Finger
weird.
Me, yeah.
All right.
So this doll right now lives in a glass box at the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut.
Another museum we need to go to.
Of course. Which, remember Haunting in Connecticut?
Yeah.
That movie?
Yes.
And then the second
movie. Nobody ever.
And then the second movie was called Haunting in Connecticut.
Haunting in Connecticut.
The Ghosts of Georgia.
Yeah. I do. I do remember that.
When that came out.
And you're looking at a woman who's seen both.
I have too. When it came out, I tweeted a Haunting in Connecticut title for each of the 50 states.
That's hilarious. But wasn't like Georgia like a female name?
No.
It
was
it took place in Georgia.
Connie in Connecticut : Georgia. Like it was not good.
Yeah.
Also, I remember like I was excited to see Haunting in Connecticut because I like exorcism stories a lot. And the ending is such a bummer. It's like not okay. Donald Sutherland is like messing around with his.
Yeah, it's bad.
I would have rather it just been the devil. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that would have been more comforting. So this doll, she's been compared to Robert the doll, although she has a slightly more remarkable head.
Of course she's been compared to Robert the doll.
Yeah.
Her running, much more streamlined.
So according to Ed and Lorraine Warren, a student nurse was given this Raggedy Ann doll in 1970, but after the doll behaved strangely... A psychic medium told the student the doll was inhabited by the spirit of a dead girl named Annabelle Higgins.
Annabelle Higgins.
And supposedly the student nurse and her roommate first tried to accept and nurture the spirit-possessed doll, which, come on, what are you doing?
How is that plan A?
Yeah, but they eventually became frightened by the doll's malicious behavior and contacted the Warrens, who removed the doll to their museum after pronouncing it demonically possessed.
I just realized that if Carrie and I were nurses in training in 1970 living together with a goddamn haunted doll, she would make me try to nurture the fucking doll
like
first.
Like a wounded baby bird.
She would. Yeah. She'd be like, let's try to work this out
first.
Well,
if it works, then you got like a real live doll that's nice, like an actual doll.
And I'd be like, Carrie.
I'd be like Mark Wahlberg, and it would be like Ted.
Yep.
That's what she'd imagine, but I would immediately go to death. I'd be like, we're going to die because of this damn doll. And Carrie'd be like, just give it a couple days. And I'd be like, oh, fine.
Carrie'd be like, no, you're going to die because of this doll.
Because you didn't help it out, and it knows.
We have talked about it. Tried to talk her out of it, but.
Caitlin, I will lock it in my room. You won't even know it's here. Yeah, I know. That's how
that
would.
Pick the locks in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you'll wake up, and it'll be holding a pillow.
Yeah, exactly.
Right over your face.
Yep, that's how it would go.
So, yeah, there are. Yeah, there's a lot of really shitty quotes about the Warrens at the end of this. Texas State University Assistant Professor of Religious Studies Joseph Laycock says most skeptics have dismissed the Warrens Museum as full of off-the-shelf Halloween junk, dolls and toys, books you could buy at any bookstore. Laycock calls the Annabelle legend an interesting case study in the relationship between pop culture and paranormal folklore.
Laycock's a hater.
He is. He's a huge hater. And he also suggested that the idea of demonically possessed dolls allows modern demonologists to find supernatural evil in the most banal and domestic of places.
I want to meet a modern demonologist. Where the fuck do we find these
Let's get
these
the
people?
Warrens on this fucking
they're
podcast.
Both, they're dead.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that shouldn't stop us.
I'll okay, still tweet at them.
Given their background, I feel like they can make it happen.
Okay, fine. I'm just saying, like, this guy's, like, pissed because of all the other demonologists that are
Can we do a seance on one of these podcasts?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we play Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Yep.
We need to bring a psychic in here to do a seance. That's
and then they'll
what we
have
need.
To bless your place with sage.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Yeah, smudge it.
Smudge it.
Smudge it good.
And then probably put salt in front of your door. Say that did that to my friend Jacqueline's. They staged it and put salt in front of the doors. I can't remember what that
keeps the bad spirits out.
Have you watched you've seen the Paranormal Activity movies, right?
I love those movies.
I do
well,
too.
One of them I really don't like, but most
remember
of them.
I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one where they put the salt down and then you just see the crazy footprints.
That's
going
the first
through the
one.
Salt.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so fucking good.
The first
good.
One is so wow. good.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like the Blair Witch Project. It's up
yeah.
there. It's like,
yeah, the
oh
first
yeah, this
Blair
is
Witch
cool.
is great. The yep. Blair Witch remake was stupid.
Yeah, did you see the third one that came out, too?
Yeah, the most recent one. That's yeah. the one I mean. Garbage. Total yeah. garbage.
I don't really like watching sequels for that reason.
I got yeah. it. They have my money. I'm stuck.
Yeah, I
gotta
still go see,
it.
See them.
I gotta
some
see
people
it
like happy hour. Some people like movies.
You're right. You're right. I like both, but more of the... Yeah, you're right. It's more of
some
the...
Some people like weed dispensaries. We all have our thing.
Fucking love them. Annabelle. I put in the notes that I also watched Annabelle today, but no, I took a nap instead.
Good.
I'm just gonna watch it.
Annabelle is one of the most frustrating movies I've ever seen in my life because the lead character, the lead woman, this is my impression of her the whole time. Everything she says is exactly this.
Nope.
The whole movie is like that. By the end of it,
it's constantly turning up your volume and turning it down when
yes,
somebody else
yes.
speaks.
I saw that shit in the theater, and yeah. everybody in the theater was like leaning forward, like, "What is she saying?"
Yeah, I would
negative.
That would haunt me trying yeah. to watch that.
I like this bunk bed story.
Yeah, let's take a sharp turn in haunted items and talk about the Tallman bunk beds.
Yeah, we at this point, we're departing from dolls and moving straight into furniture.
Yeah, this happened in Wisconsin. Most of my family lives in Wisconsin. This was in...
Shout out
to the Dub Eye. In 1987, this story is from a website called cultofweird.com, and they have a story about the haunted Tallman house. In Horicon, Wisconsin.
But specifically, the bunk beds.
The haunted bunk beds that caused all this. In 1987, a family living in Horicon, Wisconsin, was gripped by what may be the only case ever of haunted children's bedroom furniture.
I hope so. I hope it's the only
yeah,
case.
Yeah, I hope it's not an epidemic.
They don't need to spread that pattern.
And if there is, I hope it's been recalled by now.
Yeah.
It's just a warehouse of... completely haunted
yeah, you know,
ghost
you
furniture.
Know this is the 80s yeah. because it wasn't a huge manufacturer recall that
but
yeah.
what can haunted furniture do? Just slide around?
I'm so glad you asked. Adam?
After Alan and Debbie Tallman bought the bunk bed from a secondhand shop and moved it into their home on Larrabee Street, strange things started happening immediately. The radio, Carrie, would mm-hmm. switch stations on its own.
That's great.
So
love that.
The children saw an ugly old woman in their room.
She's back.
A hag. Here comes the hag.
Hag's back.
She had long black hair and a glow like fire.
Was it Mrs. Duty?
No, it wasn't Mrs. Duty.
It wasn't Damn Mrs. It. Duty. Mrs. Duty's a real woman.
Mrs. Duty's nice. The hag is like, I don't know. Old hag's back. All right.
Doors banged open and shut. A chair rocked by itself. and disembodied voices called out from empty
rooms.
This
is some good ghost shit.
We're bunk beds.
I want the top bunk. I'm telling you.
The Tallmans decided to bring in their pastor, who said he felt the presence of the devil and blessed the house.
Straight up devil.
But
Devil Akins.
Yep.
Right?
But
Devil Ants.
Devil Ants.
Devil Ants.
Devil Ants.
But the activity continued, and their son Danny soon became so scared he no longer wanted to stay in the house. And one day, Alan walked into the house shouting at the top of his lungs. Now, here comes some Zach Baggins shit. Mm-hmm. Walked in the house shouting at the top of his lungs, "Pick on me! Leave my kids alone!"
Yep. Back off, dude.
But, and the next day, whatever entity was inhabiting his home took him up on that.
Switched it up.
And he heard a voice from the garage say, "Come here." And when he went to investigate, he saw the orange glow of fire inside with red eyes staring at him through the garage door.
But he didn't do anything.
That's enough, don't you think? No. Just the apparition?
No.
Yeah, you just poke your head in. Can I grab the WD-40?
I mean, that's
out of the corner?
Yeah, be right in, right out.
Yeah, it's like...
No, you would never go in that garage ever again.
Just hands it out.
No. Nope.
Hand made of smoke, just hands it to
if
you.
If I saw that shit, I'd be like, sorry, guys.
Can you get that shelf up there? I can't quite reach it.
We're buying all new Christmas decorations from now on. We're never going in the garage again. We're getting a new car. Goodbye.
What if it helps you clean and shit?
That's an orange fire monster is not going to help you clean.
I think it's fine.
So later, like this apparently didn't make them flee the house.
No.
Later, they're sleeping in a single bedroom with all of the kids.
See, that's how you know it's some real shit, when they all end up sleeping in the same room together.
And Alan witnessed a fog rise out of the floor. It turned into flames with green eyes. And this time, a voice emanated out of it and said, "You're dead." And then it was gone. And a few days later, a relative of the family spent the evening at the house babysitting. And they were a skeptic of the paranormal. This relative became a believer by the time they returned, having witnessed a horrific figure. The Tallmans fled their home that night in the dead of Wisconsin winter.
So what I want to do for April Fool's Day this year is get a spare key to Jeff's house while you guys are recording, because Raquel will be here too. I'll sneak under his bed, and then when he just starts to fall asleep, I'll pop out and be like, "You're dead."
Like a weird British accent.
With that
accent?
Voice? You're dead. Hello. You're dead then.
I just imagine him punching me in the face and not caring.
Just going right back to sleep.
You're
probably
dead.
Wouldn't even wake up. He'd just punch you in his sleep.
I don't know where you got that.
Hello, Jeff. You're dead then.
Hey, Governor.
Yeah. Wake up.
Oh, I believe you're dead, you are.
Fancy a biscuit in the afterlife.
Jeff's like, huh?
He's like, I'm not dead. I'm laying right here. This is so stupid.
I mean, he sleeps with his Boston hat on, too.
Gary, what the fuck?
The ghost is wearing a Boston hat, too.
Yeah. You know, that story reminded me once of a fortune cookie my dad got, and he opened it, and it just said, "You're doomed."
Oof. Yikes.
It was true.
Well, aren't we all sort of? We're all going to die.
It really, I don't know. Looking at my dad, it was pretty funny.
And then when he turns it over, what were his lucky numbers?
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but my whole family.
Just 666.
We were Gladstones, I think. It was like, it was so weird. Anyway.
Why'd they have Chinese?
Yeah, I guess it couldn't have been Gladstones now that you say that. It was like an oceanfront restaurant, and we all got fortune cookies, and his said, "You're doomed."
That's pretty funny.
I want that fortune cookie. So let's talk about our last item. This one is a doozy.
This one's fucked up.
It's fucked up, the decision-making among the people who...
I don't think you can even call it
...come across this is really fucked up. It's called the Conjure Chest. This is from an article called The Freak Geek, or a website called thefreakgeek.org, April 10th, 2015. Jacob Cooley's Cursed Chest.
Sure.
150 years ago, Jacob Cooley was a slave owner in Kentucky... found out his wife was pregnant and demanded a chest of drawers from one of his talented slaves, Jose.
It's Hosea.
It could be, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Hosea. Jose. No, that would be now. And you wouldn't be allowed to call him a slave. You'd just have to call him an employee.
So Hosea got to work and crafted a lovely chest of drawers.
Sure.
That for some reason Jacob Cooley hated.
Did not like those.
And he declared it unfit for his unborn child. And in a rage, he beat Hosea to death.
Pretty sure he just wanted to beat Hosea to death.
Yeah, that's a huge overreaction.
But at least you got a chest of drawers out of it.
That's true. That's true.
Win-win for this asshole.
Mr. Cooley. Almost. The problem is the other slaves were so upset to hear about this, they decided to seek vengeance from a local conjuring man.
You don't want...
As see? One does, again. Mm-hmm. And a death curse was placed on the chest to carry on through Cooley's lineage.
Death chest.
A drawer was sprinkled with owl's blood while a chant was sung, and thus began the terrible curse.
It's weird. It's all you need.
Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. And all of those associated with the chest fell victim to the curse, although Jacob Cooley himself evidently escaped. His descendants were not as fortunate. The baby for whom the chest was built died soon after birth. The chest was in his nursery, so apparently it was fit for this baby. Mm-hmm. This asshole just didn't want to pay. His brother inherited the chest, and he was stabbed to death by his personal assistant.
Sure.
Jacob- I like that you just changed it. Possible.
Personal
servant?
Wait,
just
what?
Change it to personal
You said
assistant.
Personal assistant.
You modern dated.
Oh, yeah.
You I just bagginsed it.
I did. I bagginsed it. Jacob Cooley had another son, John, who inherited one of his father's many plantations. Young man led a serene bachelor's life until a vivacious young woman, barely out of her teens, came into his life. Her name was Ellie, and she soon married John, who was much older than her, and the couple inherited the cursed chest. Throw this fucking chest away!
That's a bad wedding
Quit
gift.
Giving it to people.
But it's probably like a Ouija board where you're not supposed to throw it away.
Yeah, it could
be. Ouija boards and cursed chests.
Knowing of the tragedies that had happened to her husband's siblings before, she hid the chest in an attic. And meanwhile, Jacob Cooley's youngest daughter, Melinda, eloped with an Irishman named Sean.
No. This makes me sad.
Yeah. With nowhere to live, Melinda turned to Ellie. John and Ellie had done well and had accumulated several farms in Tennessee. They turned over one of these to Sean and Melinda to work. While Melinda bore her young husband a brood of children and worked from sunrise to sunset, Sean hated the farm life.
Mm, I mean, he's Irish. He just wants a party.
Yeah.
So he's a city boy.
And this is where it gets weird. Ellie tried to help save the marriage, but Sean ran off. Melinda was all bummed out. So to try and cheer up Melinda, what's she do? She gives her that cursed chest.
Forgetting that it was somehow conveniently forgetting it was cursed.
I still think giving someone used furniture is a weird move to try and make them feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
I can tell you're down. I brought this fucking wooden box over.
Here. Do you need to store stuff in something?
Do you feel better now? Within days of receiving the chest, Sean left Melinda for the roaring nightlife of New Orleans.
Not a bad move.
Melinda soon took to her bed exhausted and depressed. She soon died. So shortly after his wife's death, the curse fell on Sean.
Good. Finger me.
All right.
He was killed when
that was a weak finger.
There we
Do
go.
Do it like you mean
there
it.
There we go.
He was killed when a gangplank from a riverboat hit him in the head.
I love this.
Meanwhile, John Cooley was left to find homes for Melinda and Sean's orphans. He assigned many of them to family members, but the youngest, a toddler named Evelyn, ran up to John with her little arms outstretched. He took her back to his home. There she grew into an intelligent and beautiful young woman. Not long after her teaching career began, she became a teacher. She met and married a man named Malcolm Johnson. As a wedding gift, Ellie gave him what?
The chest.
Ellie gave him the chest.
Come on, Ellie, get your act together.
And the curse went dormant for a few years, and Evelyn and Malcolm had kids, and one of those kids married a man that she loved, and they rode off for their honeymoon, leaving their wedding gown in her mother's possessions. No. Evelyn decided to use the old chest her adopted mother gave her so many years before to store Annabella's gown.
Arabella.
And the curse was no longer dormant after that. Arabella's child died soon after.
No, husband.
What?
Arabella's husband died quite unexpectedy.
Arabella's child
died. The curse was no longer dormant. Arabella's child died soon after. Her husband died, though, too.
Oh, where?
At the sentence above.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that got confusing. You guys threw me for a loop on that one. I didn't know what was going
intense.
On.
That got intense. So Arabella's child and husband
it's easier
died.
When I drink for everyone. I would have noticed that.
And from here, there's just a series of people inheriting this chest. And despite people in the family, everyone who stores clothes in this chest dies. But that's what every person who gets this chest does. They store clothes in it.
I think it's a great metaphor for family.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I mean... Also, horrible things happened to people back then all the time.
Infantile paralysis being amongst one of the worst ones. Can you imagine being an infant, like,
well, yeah, I mean,
and paralyzed?
Well,
so then what?
Well, I think you wouldn't know any different at that time, so that's not a big deal. But for your parents, that would be a big deal, and then it becomes a big deal for you.
Yeah. So there's... I like it. A son was stabbed in the hand.
Yeah, that's
he had clothes in the chest.
Yep, we got a hand. Yeah.
Clothes in the family. Chest. Clothes in the chest.
I don't know. Friend of the family.
Like that's a hook.
Yeah, it is.
To something.
A friend of the family stored his hunting clothes in the chest. He was shot in a hunting accident.
Want somebody to tell you put clothes in the chest.
And on it went until the curse had claimed 16 victims. All of them had stored their clothing in the chest
at one time. Just don't.
And this is far and away my favorite part. One of the people who eventually comes to own this begins to believe in the curse and decided to put a stop to it. She talked to an African-American friend of hers, Annie, who was a bit of a conjuring woman herself. And she told her the curse could be broken if three conditions were met. First, Mrs. Hudson would have to be given a dead owl without her having to ask for one.
Well, that's easy because I don't know anybody.
Yeah, I've never
like giving C's candies at the holidays.
Yeah, I've never had to ask for a dead owl.
Right. I mean,
you come to expect it.
I've never asked for a dead anything,
but sometimes you get it.
Yeah, sometimes you get it.
Okay, so that's step one.
Step two: the green leaves of a willow tree had to be boiled from sun up to sundown. The dead owl had to remain in sight. So don't break eye contact with the owl when you're boiling the willow tree.
So you just leaves. But you just leave it in the kitchen while you're
set it there.
Set it and forget it.
Put your boiled willow tree leaf recipe on its beak.
So far, this seems very doable.
Oh yeah, it all seems. And yeah, the third thing.
Maybe you turn it into like one of those spinning spice racks.
I have one of those.
Is it a dead owl?
Could be.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it into one.
You just put the dead owl on the Lazy Susan. You get bored. You just start spinning it around.
And the third thing that she had to do, the boiled liquid had to be buried in a jug with its handle facing east toward the rising sun below a flowering bush. Got it? Good.
Got it.
Good. So as luck would have it, a friend of Mrs. Hudson's son gave her a stuffed owl. And she was able to break the curse of the conjuring chest. Apparently.
I mean, I don't want to spoil things, but you guys need, you know now what you're both getting for Christmas. Taxidermied owls. You didn't ask for it, so.
I'm not going to ask for it in case I ever need to. Yeah, if this conversation ever comes up, I'm going to go, hey, funny you mentioned that.
Right.
I have a dead owl that was given to me without asking.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I forget this by Christmas. I like things where I get to be surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're a hard person to buy gifts for, just in general.
Can't you just buy a wine?
Chili's gift cards.
We get
any sort of chain restaurant gift card.
Chet Wild has hundreds of dollars in Applebee's gift cards because
you guys are a match made in heaven.
I feel like me and Chet might be a match made in heaven.
His grandmother sent him a Applebee's gift card once and he told her how much he liked the ribs. So now she sends him Applebee's gift cards every year since, and there's no Applebee's here. So he's just got a stack of Applebee's gift cards.
There's one by my work in Anaheim. If we want to make the trip. Yeah.
He's trying to get them to sponsor Fastball at Chet's.
I'm sure it's possible. Yes,
they're very prevalent in the Inland Empire as well.
Oh, nice. What a surprise.
Chino Hills.
Lots of Applebee's in the Inland Empire?
Didn't see that coming.
Crazy. So haunted items.
I feel like you really hit it out of the park with the last one. 16, a body count of 16 is a...
Yeah, the conjure
box. That's a cursed piece of furniture.
I want to own the conjure box and just never put anything in it.
You're going to accidentally...
Just sit there and look at it.
Don't do it. I guarantee you that someone will accidentally put something in that chest.
I don't know.
I'm going to
see if I can
you,
get my hands on it.
I work in an industry. We do all cabinets and drawers. The whole showroom is filled with cabinets and drawers. There is something in every single drawer.
Fine.
People put things in drawers. It's just a weird thing that people do.
I'm still getting a conjure
box.
No,
I can't let you get a
I want one.
Don't you like how I just went into a very sincere warning about...
Oh, are we towing?
We're towing.
Protected towing. I had
all right,
a sock on.
I'm not towing anybody.
Tell me.
Okay.
No, I'm not towing you.
Tell me.
I'll tell you.
Oh, are we... God.
I think maybe I should go across. That
this
would be
oh, yeah,
this is like playing.
This is okay. What the unicorn like card guy was trying to get to.
No ball.
I'm going to have rose petals on this table next time we record.
Good.
Thousands of them.
Good.
That would
bring back the sweetest slash most terrifying.
That would be so scary.
We're gonna get that. Gonna get that little person back in here.
Good. We're Instagram friends. I could actually. I could bring him on.
Don't do. You're gonna kill Carrie. You're gonna bring all the crazies back to Carrie.
I'm into it. It's fine.
I don't think I care. I always want to die. I'm fine.
All right. We should get out of here. We have to record another thing. Do we have anything to plug? Carrie, you're on tour soon.
Yay! Yeah. But I really want... This is what I'm going to... Okay. So two things I want to talk about. One, Hollywood Improv, Thursday, April 6th at 8 p.m. San Diego Comedy Palace on Saturday the 8th at 7:30 p.m. And then Gaslamp in Long Beach Sunday the 9th at 7 p.m.
Awesome.
The next thing I would like to talk about is I want this to catch on. Oh, clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest. If you want somebody to die, you put clothes in the chest.
I don't know why it won't.
I mean, I think it's going to sweep the nation. I also like that you listed three career building opportunities. Brush that aside almost immediately for your hook.
Yeah.
Clothes in the chest.
That will be the name of this episode. Closing the chest. We're going to get it to catch on.
Carrie, I'm telling you, this is her gift in life. As insane as that, what you just watched, I've watched, this isn't the first time I've watched her do this. We're going to end up with mugs that say closing the chest. I'm telling you right now.
You want somebody dead, you put clothes in the chest.
I'm going to hear it in my sleep.
I'm into it. I'm way into it.
So much happened tonight.
Caitlin, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, I'm on White Wine True Crime still. Are you? I love it every...
That's a good podcast.
Thank you. We like it.
Yeah. It's the only other good podcast.
That's how we feel
there's
about
our,
it.
There's our, like, all... like all.
There's the all network. The unpacked.
It's just us.
It's all just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find us on... You should totally listen to White Wine True Crime.
Totally.
If you like this, it's just mostly this, honestly.
I want to be on it sometime.
We're bringing you on. We're going to be talking about Audrey and Daisy.
Oh, cool. You know what else I thought we could talk about if we don't do Audrey and Daisy? Mm-hmm. There's a documentary coming up about the Baylor University basketball team in 2003. One of the players murdered the other.
Is it a Netflix
and the
one?
It's on Showtime.
Okay. We can do either.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, we're gonna Adam's going to come on the show very soon.
Soon.
Very soon.
Very, very soon.
Very soon, boo.
Very soon, boo. You can find us on iTunes and pretty much anywhere else. Honestly, we're on the internet.
Or through our website that has all of our episodes.
Our website, whitewinetruecrime.com. And on Twitter, at WWTCrime. On Instagram, at WWTCrime. And I'm on Twitter, at Bossy Matilda. And on Instagram, at Kaylin Rosecut.
All those things also, but for Unpops. Unpops on Twitter.
Yeah, it's just all Unpops.
Unpops podcast on Instagram.
Guys, don't forget to try to get Mr. Baggins on our show.
Please tweet at Zach Baggins. Tell him he should be on Pretty Scary.
And tweet, clothes in the chest.
It's happening.
Clothes in the chest. You want somebody murdered, you put clothes in the chest. You see? He was bobbing his head. It does
seem
catchy.
I'm into it. Clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest. You want somebody dead. Murdered. Oh, murdered? You put clothes in the chest.
I guess it should be dead. No, dead's easier.
Yeah, dead. Fewer syllables.
No, totally. Okay.
I'm
officially the producer on this song now.
From the top, Adam.
From the top. Clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest. You want somebody dead? Put some clothes in the chest. Right, Caitlin?
Tell me. Tell me.
Tell me.
Tell me. Oh, we did it. That's not as easy.
It's a little more.
The sad part is like now I'm trying to write the middle parts to the song already.
Yeah, right. Can we get some verses? Or?
Yeah, I'll put them together.
All right, cool.
Carrie and I have been rapping a lot. We just rapped on our last episode of White Wine True Crime.
I want to rap.
Yeah.
We will. Yeah. We're going to write a clothes in the chest rap.
God damn it, Carrie. God damn it, Carrie.
This
she
was
always
fun.
Does it. I know. This was good. This made me happy.
We should get out of here so we can do
the
other
the
episode.
Get out of here and start talking about other shit.
Yeah. Carrie, say goodbye.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
I love you so much. Oh, my God.